You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to episode number 60,
no,
I believe.
59.
Okay. 59. Of the M Squared TechCast, the only internet radio program you are listening to. Right now.
I always love his logic. You
okay.
Know?
So anyway, we are here with another great show for you here today. We have a lineup of fascinating guests. Our first guest has unfortunately not called in at this point. So it's going to be me and Mike telling jokes and tap dancing. How's that sound?
Do a little fart dancing and all that stuff. You know. But no, we won't do that. Okay.
That real high-tech stuff.
Yeah, right. But we do have Tom Kelly in here. And we're going to save him as a special surprise. I guess we've given the surprise away now,
at the bottom of the hour,
At the bottom of the hour. But since he's here and smiling, and we could bring him in and wait for Mark Becker, hopefully, to give us a call here. But,
okay.
Hey. Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, right.
You
are our rescue, I'll tell you.
That's right. I just want to say I'm the most famous celebrity in studio right now.
Yes, absolutely.
In the studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go with that.
Okay.
Okay, I like that.
So, Tom, tell us a little bit about what's new at Automation Alley, what's going on. I know you recently had a big annual meeting and passed out a bunch of awards, but there's a ton of other stuff going on as well. And missions, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. There's always good stuff going on at the Alley, as you know. Well, what do you want to start with? We're running a trade mission to Australia.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Down under.
Yeah, we're doing a...
we're in springtime. Yes,
I know. That's when you want to go. Just coming into
endless
summer.
Endless summer. That's Tom. He's going to bring his surfboard along. And then all the trade missions will always be in warm places, and he'll bring his board along.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. You know, I have yet to go on a trade mission for Automation Alley.
Really?
Here I am, the executive director. They don't let me go.
You always
They're
said no.
Nice.
You're so valuable,
you always said no, huh?
Tom. That's what
That's
is,
right. I've always said no, right? You know, we just got back from Cuba. Yeah, that was a great trade
And you
mission.
Didn't bring me any cigars, right?
But I did come back with cigars, right?
I didn't go.
I just wanted to. I didn't go. Noel came back with a box of cigars.
Really?
Cubans, yep.
Cool. Okay.
That would have been.
So, what kind of companies did you take to Cuba, and what kind of companies are you taking to Australia? What are they looking for?
Yeah. So Cuba, you know, you're not allowed to do any business down there. So
not
you
yet.
Have to go down on a research mission. So everybody that we brought. Small and medium manufacturers was on an exploratory mission. You read into that what you will. I think there's good beer there. There's good cigars. they were exploring everything.
Few other things too, but this is a family show. So
yeah. But you know what the people that came back from that trade mission. They actually said it was been on multiple missions. It says the best mission ever.
Ooh, okay.
they said it was so beautiful. The people were so great. They're really looking forward to the time when they can actually do business. And the cars were so cool. I heard that. They took probably 500 pictures that are posted, and I was looking through them all, and it just looked so fun. And what a nice trip. But we'll see. Maybe with the new president, I'm not optimistic. They'll open trade.
On the other hand, he is in the casino business.
Don't get Matt started on the new president.
There you go.
The whole show will go right down the.
I'm pulling the pin and then I walk out. Right.
Well, I was going to say he was formerly in the casino business. You know, and Cuba was famous for that at one point.
Yes, but that was a different group of people that were famous for that down there.
Yes.
And I don't want to make any dispersions here, you know.
Okay. But I mean, you know, they're going to need, you know, that's the thing. It's a market of, what, 30 million people, something like that?
Something like that.
And they need everything. You know, that's the great thing about it. Their economy's kind of been frozen in time since the
1960s or 70s. And they got to be the best auto mechanics in the world.
Well, yeah, and they're better with Bondo than anybody on the planet, you know, apparently.
Except a new car.
On how good those cars still look.
That's right, except a new car is all computers.
Right,
so
true.
They're going to say, what the heck do I do with this?
Well, we could bring some up here and let them run the Woodward Dream Cruise. I mean, you know, that's that's the age bracket of cars they're used to dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, Moons of the Embargo was 59 or 60 or something like that?
It was a little later than that, I think. But yeah, the complete embargo. It's been a long, long time, and it'll be interesting. So was the group in Havana or all over the place?
I believe Havana was the only place. There might have been a little city, you know, close to Havana that we got to. But they just talked about what a great time that was.
So you're going to do the Down Under one.
Yeah,
you carved that one out for yourself.
Yeah, we're doing an exploratory doing business in Australia workshop on November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Australia is good at aerospace, or good defense, medical, life science, machinery, equipment, some energy plays. This is usually the first step we take to say, are we really going to do this? Is there enough demand to pull together a team to fly all the way down under? And so November 30th, come check it out. See if you want to go to Australia with us.
Well, and the purpose of these trade missions, I mean, yes, it's to boost exports, but you're also all about creating jobs here and attracting foreign investment, right? So there might be some stuff that Australian companies want to do here with American workers.
Absolutely. You know, that's the opposite side of the coin that doesn't get as much press, but we've brought hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars into Southeast Michigan through foreign direct investment. And, you know, what FDI is, for people like, what the heck is a foreign direct investment? It's basically a company that moves here and buys a building and buys land and creates a bunch of jobs and begins to pay taxes here. So it's a wonderful system when you get them to come over here.
Yeah, a guy I covered years and years and years ago when I was a business writer at the Kalamazoo Gazette named Jim Hettinger at Battle Creek Unlimited was kind of the guru in Michigan for that.
Wow.
They set up an industrial park at what used to be Fort Custer, the Army base. And he started going to Japan, and people thought he was nuts. And eventually, there several Japanese auto suppliers created really big plants in Battle Creek.
Wow!
I mean, if people are going to buy Japanese cars, we might as well make them here, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Who's laughing now?
Right? Exactly. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, so that's foreign direct investment. I mean, you're attracting, you know, investment in successful companies overseas that want American subsidiaries that want to sell here without having to monkey around with trade deals or anything like that.
These companies that come and get established here, they create the jobs by the hundreds when they relocate here. I mean, talk about moving the needle. We do, you know, my background is startups, as Matt and Mike know here. You got to wait 7 years for them to create 10 jobs. You get them started, you nurture them. Yeah, right.
Right.
The lucky ones go on to create 10, 20 jobs. This foreign direct investment, someone like a King Fa from China comes over, and we nurture them in our facility. They end up over in Canton in a $70 million building with 100 jobs, poof, created just like that.
Did you hear that, folks? Canton, it's not just Oakland County? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we
want to make sure we emphasize that whenever we can, you know, for Automation Alley, because people think it's a Brooks thing. And it started as a Brooks thing, but
long time
it's ago. About the whole region now, okay?
So, and Brooks is a good friend of the Alley. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, we have good friends all over the state of Michigan, and our membership is 8 counties.
Yeah.
8 counties and counting. So,
well, I've always been curious, and now that you're the new man on the block, I'm going to ask, any thoughts about expanding westward, Ho? You like Grand Rapids has great manufacturing, and Lansing, well, not as much as they once did, but, you know, places like that. Is there any thoughts about going west?
We thought Silicon Valley global domination was in our cards. So let's start a little smaller, right? No, of course, you know, as Automation Alley goes down this Industry 4.0 path, all the technologies related to manufacturing, you know, Industry 4.0 is a global phenomenon. So we're going to be helpful to anybody that wants to propel Southeast Michigan forward, and that means going out to the west side of the state. In fact, we have members already that are on the west side of the state. So if you got something to add to the story, we want to hear about it, or we want to help. If you need the thought leadership that we're going to create, absolutely, get under the tent. You know, there's another one. The state of Michigan, just created a MOU with the Ontario province to create more synergies around the auto industry and the manufacturing.
So you can go east, too.
So we can go east, too.
And then you really will be international.
Right. So why wouldn't we embrace our brethren in Canada that are part of our ecosystem?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it is part of the ecosystem.
Anybody who's a Red Wings fan is apparently welcome, right?
Okay. Or something.
That's right.
Well, you know, Windsor is where Detroit goes to play. There are so many interesting things to do over there.
Yes.
We can't talk about those either. But that makes sense. So.
That's right. Yeah, my wife wonders why I take 16 business trips a week over to Windsor.
What's going
That's
on
not
over
true,
there?
Sweetheart. I've never.
The Windsor Ballet. No, we won't go into that. Yes, a wonderful, but great Chinatown. When I was working at the Free Press before 9/11, we'd go Chinatown over there two, three times a week.
They got a good little Italy over there,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then now crossing the border is like not a fun thing.
And let me tell you, the best Hungarian restaurant I've ever been to in my life is in Windsor. It's called the Blue Danube. It's on the east side of town. Really, really good. Highly recommend it.
You just sort of waltz right in there?
Yeah,
or what?
Yeah. And they have a guy playing like schmaltzy violin music at your table, and you pay him $2 to make him go away, you know, that kind of thing.
East side of town, you mean up the river a little bit?
And it's over in the east side of the downtown area. It's okay.
Well, then there's Walkerville, where they have very good libations. Hiram Walker, you know.
Oh yeah.
So that used to be the big smugglers thing back during Prohibition.
Sure.
They'd all move it over from Canada.
Well, you could walk it over in the wintertime.
Yes,
the
you
time.
Could probably. Yeah. So.
All right. So Australia, what kind of companies are you looking at in Australia?
So again, anybody in aerospace or automotive or energy, life science, medical device, it's you know, Australia's big and there's a lot of industry there. So we're going to see who shows up. You know, a lot of what happens with these trade missions, why they're so successful, is we see who shows up, who's interested in going, and then we tailor the program around the businesses, the manufacturers that want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so every one of them is unique. It's not a cookie-cutter approach to running a trade mission.
Okay.
Unless you're into cookie-cutter. We'll tell them the program.
I am a manufacturer of cookie-cutters, so I do take a cookie-cutter approach.
Little koala bears and kangaroos.
Yeah, little shamrocks for St. Patty's Day.
I like that.
There you go. Okay. So, Tom, if people want more information on getting in on one of these trade missions, where should they go?
Come to our website, www.automationalley.com. It's November 30th. Mark it in your book. Come out and see us. I believe it's a morning meeting.
Okay.
First thing in the morning.
All right. That's AutomationAlley.com. Well, we are close to the end of this segment.
But we're going to hold Tom over now. He's going to do a double.
So. Okay, gotcha. All right, and coming up next will be Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Centers, for his monthly segment. He's going to talk to someone from Great Lakes Health Connect about the ever-changing healthcare industry. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast. Hey, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. This is segment two. And once again, as is our wont, once a month, we offer this here podium to Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Centers. And he's going to talk to a small business person who has been helped out by the MSBDC. So welcome, Keith.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Mike. And we have a very cool business to highlight today.
Do tell.
So I have with me Brian Mack, the Manager of Marketing and Communications from Great Lakes Health Connect. Great Lakes Health Connect is what I would call one of our state's kind of hidden jewels in the technology world, specifically the health technology world, a business with some national prominence from right here in our state doing some very interesting things. Brian, can you give us the brief synopsis of what Great Lakes Health Connect is all about?
Sure. Hi. Thanks for having me on, Keith. Thanks, guys. I'm happy to be with you today. Great Lakes Health Connect is the really the leading provider in Michigan of health information exchange services. And so another what that means in essence is that GLHC seamlessly facilitates the transmission of patient health records. We do that in a very secure fashion, to the tune of more of about a billion messages annually, connecting 129 health systems, hospitals across the state, and over 4,000 primary and specialty and allied care provider offices as well. We're a community-based nonprofit and are singularly dedicated to leveraging technology to help improve the quality of healthcare across Michigan.
Thanks, Brian. And for full disclosure, I should share that Brian and I were colleagues at IdeoMed. A couple of the other old IdeoMed crew of that prior company are at Great Lakes Health Connect doing this good work. Brian, I know that any tech company can be a bit hard to explain, and especially something where there's a bit of complexity. What if you're at a cocktail party and you're describing Great Lakes Health Connect, and somebody who's not a technologist hears that description and says, why does there need to be a connector in the middle of a health entity A moving information to health entity B? Wouldn't they just ship it straight over the internet between the two entities? Why is there a Great Lakes Health Connect in the middle?
Sure. So sometimes that topic is referred to as interoperability, Keith. And so what essentially that means is that healthcare providers were mandated through the Affordable Care Act to move all of their patient health records to an electronic platform, but there was not a specific vendor or individual language that was required of those healthcare providers. And so what has grown up basically is a very competitive marketplace for electronic health records. And what Great Lakes Health Connect does then is breaks those proprietary packages down to their core language. And in doing that, we can gather that information in, integrate it, aggregate it, and then distribute it back out so that all of those healthcare providers, regardless of what segment of the population they're serving, can pull that information in and use it to better treat their patients at the point of care.
Now, I know you have a major initiative in Flint. What is it that you're doing in the Flint community, and does it relate at all to the tough times that Flint has traveled through?
It does. We have had, Great Lakes Health Connect has had a presence in Flint since our inception back in 2009, so we've been on the ground there for some time. But clearly, the degree of urgency rose by a significant factor in the last year or so. And so our board of directors back in February came together and said, one of the key obstacles to adopting a fully accessible electronic system for the entire continuum of care across Genesee County was cost. And so our organization has invested about $250,000 in Flint to help remove that obstacle. And that is the largest portion of those dollars is going toward the fees that are required of providers to pay their health record systems, their vendors, so that they can be connecting that information. So by removing that obstacle, our goal is to create a care-connected community there across Genesee County that will help not only address the needs of the community today, and specifically those that might be related to the immediate needs following the water crisis, but also the long-term health care needs of that population. We know that tracking the patients who might have been impacted by lead poisoning is something that is not going to be a today or tomorrow problem. It's something that's going to be a long-term issue, and we wanted our healthcare providers in the area and really across the state to be prepared to address those unique needs.
Great. I suppose the exchange of the healthcare data is more important than ever in the community now, and probably for the years forward as well.
And absolutely.
I know an additional project that Great Lakes Health Connect is involved with is the Heartland Project. What's the goal of that pilot?
So this is kind of a neat project that we've just become involved in. It's a cooperative agreement that was is part of a grant program that was launched by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the ONC. And it's something
and
that we are undertaking. The Office of the National Coordinator. So essentially through HHS, the Office of the National Coordinator is the department that is specifically focused on health IT and leveraging IT to improve and enhance healthcare delivery. So they had a grant program that we are collaborating with through an organization that we are members of called the Strategic Health Information Exchange Collaborative, or SHEIC, and that is to test a concept called the Patient-Centered Data Home. And there are participating organizations in the Heartland Project, mainly up here in the northern Midwest, in Indiana, in Ohio, in Tennessee, and in Kentucky, as well as Michigan. And we are all working together across state lines to be able to send what are called ADT messages, admissions, discharges, and transfer data back and forth across state lines, and to inform each other if a patient within their home, HIE, if you will, hence the patient-centered data home term, say if somebody from Indiana were to admit to a hospital for whatever reason in Michigan, we would automatically be able to identify them based on their home zip code and send a message back to their home HIE to let them know, hey, a patient in your population has been admitted in Michigan, and perhaps their primary care physician needs to know that. And then in return, the admitting physician here in Michigan will be able to pull up necessary records that they can use from the home HIE to enhance the care that they're delivering at the point of service. So it's a regional effort. Part of this, one of many different concepts that are being worked on to expand the availability and access to health information across the country. It's a pretty hot issue right now. We're excited to be a part of this pilot.
Great. This is one more question about what makes everything come together at Great Lakes Health Connect, the people. And I know, as Mike and Matt will attest, it seems like at every turn, the lack of talent on the market is out there as a barrier to business progress. How does Great Lakes Health Connect build a good team? And what is it that makes Great Lakes Health Connect a special place to work? So this is your chance to give a pitch specifically to technologists out there. How do you find them, and why should they come there?
I think that we are part of a terrific communication network within the healthcare technology, within the technology community here in Michigan. I think that organizations like the SBTD do great work in helping raise that talent. Most of the staff here, there's about 30 to 35 of us here at Great Lakes Health Connect, and most of us are Michiganders, and so we are fortunate for that. I think that the things that make this organization special is that we're first and foremost mission focused. So to a person, you can talk to just about every single staff person, and they are They have a personal story about why they think it's important to enhance the quality of healthcare, and it just so happens that we as a technology organization are choosing that means to an end. We all appreciate that the technology is not the end goal, that it is the lever that we are using to have a positive impact on patients. And that's culturally, that's really deeply ingrained in who we are as an organization. And we've been very fortunate to be able to find some very talented people right here in Michigan.
Great. Thanks, Brian. And if I may, let me slide in a description of an event that's coming up in May that hopefully we'll see Great Lakes Health Connect at, as well as many other businesses across our state. And that's the Michigan Celebrates Small Business Annual Gala, where the Michigan's 50 companies to watch are recognized. There's typically a crowd of 600 plus, and the awards are given out in 50 to watch, as well as other categories like Small Business Person of the Year, Veteran-Owned Business, Exporter of the Year, Innovation of the Year. And anybody can nominate one of those 50 companies to watch. We're on the home stretch. A nomination period has been extended to November 25th, and then it closes. There's over 350 nominations already. And if anybody's interested in nominating a business or attending, and again, it's not until May 4th, but nominations close soon, you can just do a search on Michigan Celebrates Small Business, and you'll find the site.
Or Keith,
for giving us a great example of an organization on the move today. And Mike?
Yeah, they can also go to my website, because I have your ad running that I just got this morning that said we're expending.
Ring that bell.
We all have to do shameless plugs here. So they go to my website, and there's an ad there that they click on, it'll take them there. But, yeah, I was hoping you would bring that up. Why did you extend it a week? I'm just curious. Did you want to get more entries in or what?
It was really due to the overwhelming response. 350 nominations is a very strong year of responses, but also the many outreaches we had asking about when the deadline was. So as we were in the process of clarifying the deadline and the questions were rolling in, we decided to extend it by one more week just to make it a comfortable window for everybody to get their apps in.
Okay, let me add, you have about 3 minutes left in the segment.
Great. Well, for our Brian, for our final 3 minutes, I'd like to ask you what you see as the future of healthcare technology in Michigan. You guys are right in the middle as one of the leading examples. Do you think this is a growth industry in Michigan? And does it have room for small businesses as the domain of the big players?
I really do. I think that the future is really bright for the growth of health technology. I think that Keith, you and I have had conversations that often when you're talking about health technology in general, much of the focus goes to the coasts, what's going on in Silicon Valley or what's going up in the tech corridor in Boston or something like that. As you referred earlier, I think that the Midwest is really kind of an unsung hero. There's a lot of really exciting things that are going on in health technology right here in Michigan. There's some fascinating things that are coming out of the universities all over the state, Grand Valley, University of Michigan, Michigan State, on and on it goes. I think that there's some tremendous opportunity to get engaged in health IT in a variety of ways, and I think that growth potential is only going to get greater here in Michigan as we continue to look to ways to improve the quality of care, access to care for everyone in the state. It's really an exciting field to be working in and with terrific potential for the future.
You stack rank the top 20 healthcare exchanges in the nation, would Great Lakes Health Connect be on that top 20 list nationwide?
Well, yeah. I mean, all bias aside, I would say that GLHC is in the top five. Again, all bias aside, I think that is something that you would hear from our like-minded organizations around the country. There's some terrific things happening in Ohio and Indiana, in Vermont and Delaware, Texas, But, you know, some of the unique differentiators for Michigan is that Great Lakes Health Connect was launched as a startup. We were bootstrapped out of the ground with no federal or state monies associated. And to this day, we are completely self-sustaining. And that has really helped differentiate us, and it has made us unique, and it actually helped us to avoid some of the pitfalls that some of the other organizations as they were launching have run into.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off. We're running out of time in this segment. Great summation. That's Brian Mack of Great Lakes Health Connect. And, of course, Keith Brophy, State Director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center. This is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechCast.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are into segment three of the M Squared TechCast for Monday, November 21st.
And we're going to have some more fun with Tom Kelly, the executive director of Automation
I
Alley.
Just never seemed to go away.
You'd think he was done, but no.
Yep.
So he's back.
He's got more to say.
Hey, one of the things I want to talk about, although I'm still waiting for you guys to announce it, but I have to bring it up anyway.
We're going to bring it up.
Okay, good. It's actually Tom's idea. I came to met with him the same day you were appointed in August.
Yeah, you didn't waste any time.
No, I was like right there the same day he was appointed, and because I was telling him about my video project, and he came up with a better idea, and so we're in the process of getting that launched now. I'm getting all the gala folks edited, but we'll be launching.
Thank you for that.
We've been struggling what to call it. It's not really the Automation Alley channel. It is kind of, but...
In a nutshell, what we're going to do is we're going to create video news press releases.
Yes, it's right what it is. It's a video press release.
It's a video press release. And what we're finding is, you know, it's awful hard to bust through with a press release, a typed press release that ends up going out digitally with a million other press releases on the PR wire. And the press has really gotten smart, and they just don't pay attention anymore. It's so hard to get above the fray. And people are going towards video. So we thought, what a great idea to partner with mytechnews.com to offer to our members. We have so many members that are trying to get their stories out. They're all doing cool things. We got a lot of little companies. Let's do a video press release. Let's get it out there.
Yep. And 90 seconds or so, but that's kind of loose. Because some people have, you just can't cover. I don't want to just cut them off in mid-sentence kind of thing.
Well,
but 90 seconds or so.
Yeah, 90 seconds is about right. You know, what we tell everybody, and Mike, you know this being in the industry, is you really lose people if you go past 90 seconds. You start it up, you look at the how long it's going to run, and you go, I'm out. You're at 2 minutes and 50
seven
seconds.
7 minutes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't have time for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know, 90 seconds, you can convey a ton of information in 90 seconds. In fact, more than you need in a lot of cases to be able to tell your story. And it, the reason why we limit it to 90 seconds is these are not inexpensive to produce. I mean, these are expensive.
Yes, I know that.
Yes, that's right. So you know, working with Mike here, these cost money to make, and the quality is such that it gets the attention of your audience. And so, you know, I think our normal prices, we're coming out with, and we don't know what this will ultimately mean for the market, but our normal price is going to be about $500, $499 for a 90-second professional.
But we have this
spot.
Introductory charter.
You got it. You got it. It's only going to be...
If you sign up now, hey, it's only $399. But more importantly, it's more than the... Well, it is a video. I mean, I just read something, a report that by 2018 or 19, 90% of what appears on Facebook will be video rather than text.
You got it. It's all going video, and video over mobile, too. You got to be able to display it on your phone.
Yeah, and then the Google now has set up where you could have keyword searchable videos. They just launched that in September. So we're going to piggyback on that. And so you also get us, my little empire here, pushing the video out. Plus, you're going to have Automation Alley pushing the video out. And so
will our
think
videos,
it's going to work really good. You
will
know?
Our videos on the YouTube channel, the MyTech News, will they be searchable by this Google engine?
Yes, you'll be able to search them by the Google engine.
And we're not charging more for that.
We should. I know this should be a $7.99 value. But for you, just this week, $3.99. Okay.
Right. Well, wait, there's more.
Well,
I think there's a Dyson vacuum in there somewhere. If you stick
we're
going to
give you the Vegematic, too.
Ginsu knives, yes. Okay.
Yeah, but you got to find a way to break through. So we're running this as a grand experiment.
Yep.
You know, Mike knows this. We know this. We're going to see. Is this something that our members find useful? And we certainly think it should be extremely useful,
particularly for smaller, because the big guys, the GMs and the Fords and the Chrysler, they got much. This is not a sophisticated. You know, lots of cuts and lots of videos jumping around kind of. This is, think of it, it's a video press release.
Right.
You're going to have three or four points you're going to make really fast. We're going to cut some images and some B-rolls. It's like watching video. Think of TV news. It's kind of like a TV news interview.
So our members cannot get their product placed in a movie with Jason Bourne driving the Ford product.
We talked to him about it, but it was more than $4.99.
Yeah, it was more than $4.99. So, but for our members, the next best thing is we can have them tell their story through this video.
Tom will do a talent fee. If you want him in the video, it's only another $4.99, right, Tom? So
you got it. $4.99. Boy, that's great. I'll do those all day long.
Yeah.
I just found a new line of work.
Yeah.
We get Matt to do it. A
couple of those a day. Yeah, you're all set.
We'll drag him out of LTU and have him shoot some, you know.
I need Matt's radio voice.
I know.
He's going to have to give me some
wonderful
tips. It is, you know.
So, the deep resonant voice.
He needs to be, who was the guy that did
Mark
Ed
Almond.
Love, right?
Ed Love did jazz on WDET. He's still on Saturday nights. And then Mark Almond.
Mellow sounds of Matt Rausch.
That's right.
Somebody cue up some smooth
Venus.
Jazz.
Remember Venus from WKRP? You are Venus.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Venus. That's right. So good. So we hope it'll be a good, a little program that we're going to
announce. Fun. I'll give it a shot, see what happens.
Absolutely.
Again, I think for smaller companies, it's going to be a real draw. Again, the big boys, they don't need it, but you have a lot of smaller members that it's affordable. It gets good traffic.
Well, you know what, and you're gonna be able to use that video. I mean, it goes out on the YouTube channel, and now all of a sudden you have a way to tell your story with some third party validation.
Yep.
That you can direct your web traffic to, or in some way educate your customers or prospects about some of the cool stuff you're doing. Yep. I just think it's a great idea.
And Google is the number two search engine in the world. YouTube is the number two search engine in the world.
I was going to say, who's one?
Google's number one, and Google owns YouTube. So there you go.
That's right.
So, and then we can even do it on the Vimeo channel, because what happens, though, with YouTube is they insert commercials whether you like it or not.
Right.
But so for those that don't want it, we can produce it on the Vimeo channel, which is commercial free and just your message. But right. then you're losing that search engine aspect. So, I mean.
Well, I think it's going to be a multi-channel strategy, right?
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, we can probably. Is there. I guess I don't know the answer to this, Mike. Are we going to allow them to embed it, a link onto their own website
where they can
say, hey, this is our video, and it shows, it plays
that's,
there.
And that's all the internet is a series of links. So yeah, we just right. give you the YouTube link, you pop it in, and you're good to go.
And all for $3.99.
I know. It's, what a value. What a value.
Mention that price again, please.
$3.99.
Okay, all right.
Okay. But only until the end of January, then it goes up.
Then it goes up.
Act
right.
now.
Yep. Yep. Well, we have nearly 1,000 members, so
yeah.
we got to believe that there'll be plenty out there that will want to take advantage of
it. And then what I hope to do is, once this thing gets up and running, right now I'm learning video editing, and I'm, you know, it's okay, but it's not really my forte. So I'll hire more folks. I talked to some folks at Washtenaw Community College and some other places that do know what they're doing much better than I with video.
Oh, we love the folks at Washtenaw Community
College.
They're so
awesome. Once we get up and rolling, then I'll step back and just be the executive producer and kind of make sure the wheels are turning.
Yeah. So, well, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun ride.
Let's yeah, there are. I was going to say there's so many young people that that really understand that video.
I'm an old conjurer, right?
Software.
You know.
Yeah, quite well.
So
my daughter's 8. She cut her own video the other day and edited it.
Well, nice. I know it. It's
and it was scary good.
Yeah.
I used to hire my kids to do my PowerPoints. You know, I mean, they were better at me at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
Yeah. Man's got to know his limitations, right?
Time has passed us by.
Yeah.
Sad.
What are we looking at? 3 more minutes or so? I'm getting 3 fingers from Jess. Normally, I get 1 finger from Jess, so I'm feeling better about it. So we got 3 minutes.
I think she told you to read between the lines.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, right. Well, then I'll give a shameless plug for Automation.
Yeah,
we got a morning
right.
member mingle coming up in Royal Oak on December 1st. That's right around the corner. It's next week, right?
December 1st.
It's going to be at Airfoil, which is a PR firm.
And you know, and we could have had Lisa in here, it turns out, because we won't say who didn't show up, but yes. Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah, Airfoil's a great PR agency. They've been our PR agency for a while. You know, they were my PR agency back when I started a business.
Mm-hmm.
I had a series of startups around technology, as we've talked about on past shows. And Lisa Valley Smith, she had just launched her firm and had maybe a couple people downtown with me. I was downtown with my tech company. We were one of their earliest clients, and they're awesome. They are such a high-quality outfit.
Well, Lisa, go back to the Ponder days, or who was she working for with PR? But when I was at the Free Press, she was the vice president of the PR agency that I dealt with. I think it was Ponder.
Yeah.
And little Janet Tyler.
Tyler, right.
Yeah,
that
was
one of her newbies.
Who's now a tech COO.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And Red Level.
Yep.
Little. There we go. Shameless plug.
Okay.
That's good. So she started Airfoil 1 month after I started MI Tech
News. Is that right?
Yeah. She was in the old Penobscot building originally.
Yeah, I remember. Right. Yeah, I was in the old book tower.
Yeah.
Not the Westin, the nice one, the old book tower, one across the street.
Okay.
It's a scary book tower.
Speaking of Penobscot, our benefactors, the Bob and Dave Show, they now have another location downtown in the Penobscot building. I haven't seen it yet, which also includes a video. Yeah, so we were just talking about that before we went on air. Maybe we could come up with some live video shows. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yep.
Maybe we could make a 90-second video for our members down there.
Yeah,
at the same time.
There you go. Live sit
show.
In the studio.
I'm sure they would be happy to rent it to you for any such purpose.
$200 an hour, I think it is. But we'll have to shoot a lot of them in our.
I was going to say, for a TV studio, that's really reasonable,
though. Really
that's
is.
The thing. So,
yeah, right.
All right. So, once again, people want more information about this program. Where do they go?
You got to go to www.automationdaily.com.
Yep. If they want to learn more about the special on the video.
Video news releases. And I can tell you, as someone who tries to place news releases for a living now, it is hard to break through the clutter.
I know.
It really is.
I cut him some slack. I occasionally run some of his. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know firsthand just how darn finicky they're getting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how clever they are getting at ignoring you.
And a lot of it is because of the staffing situation at a lot of local media. You know, you got to really tailor things. You got to spoon feed them everything. You got to, that's just the reality these days. These people are so busy.
And now the news and the Free Press are laying.
They can't waste any time.
Well, they're not laying them off yet, but the news and the Free Press are... cutting some more people, offering buyouts.
And the beauty of a video is, have you ever started a video and then actually done something else while you listen for cues if it's any good? You can't do that reading a PR. You're either all in or you're all out. Right. With a video press release, you can they'll start it in the background, say, "Oh, what's this all about?" And then they, you know, spit their coffee out when they hear something really good and stop and go back and look at it.
That's what we need to do, is get those kind of hard-hitting PR releases, you know. Make them spit their coffee out, and it gets their attention.
Yeah,
or it could just be bad coffee.
an old writing coach of mine used to call that the holy bleep.
Holy bleep.
That's what you're trying to get out of people.
Tell you what the bleep means.
That's what you're trying to provoke out of people, though, when they see your news.
We're running out of time. We're getting the Jeff signal here, so we're going to have to cut it off. That we've been talking to Tom Kelly twice, and this is
thanks,
Mike.
Guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is Mike Brennan
and Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're listening to M Squared TechCast. I almost missed my cue until Matt pointed at me there. So,
and they say it's rude to point.
Yes. Well, and we have on the line, as we do most months, Enrico Schaefer, who Jess likes to call Enrique.
No, that's you.
Is that what it is? Yes. Oh, okay. And he is a drone law pro, our man from Traverse City. Did you get a little snow up there, by the way?
We did. We got a couple inches. It didn't. It's still a little snowy, but not too bad.
Okay. And so we're going to do one of your drone law updates. And one of the things that I found interesting was when you were pitching this to me, you said somebody, a guy, was charged for flying his drone over a Trump event. What's that all about?
Yeah. So in Philadelphia, we had a situation where a recreational drone user was out flying their drone, wanted to capture a protest event from the Trump election, and got really close to a police helicopter that was managing the event. And so it looked like the recreational user was flying at night beyond line of sight and got within feet of a helicopter. Ooh. So extremely dangerous situation. Yeah. And he was 20 years old, and he was arrested. And so now he's facing a number of different charges.
So when he's 30, he'll be out of jail, and he'll know better, right? So
exactly. It'll be interesting to see what the police do. I mean, there's actually a video of the drone from the helicopter, and the reporting in any event was that at first the helicopter thought that the drone may have actually collided with it, but in any event, it got very close. And as you can imagine, the drone could cause damage to the blades of the helicopter, among other different scenarios, and that could have been a catastrophe.
Sure. And how big a drone was it?
We don't know, but let's just say it was a 5 or 4 pound drone. It looks like a relatively standard type drone, maybe a DJI product. And the guy was just out trying to capture get some good photographs and video, and probably unaware of the rules, probably unaware that you can't fly beyond line of sight, that you're really discouraged from flying at night. And if you see the way that this person is flying, it looks like he's just looking through the camera on his phone or his iPad and is flying from far away. So he can only see what the camera and his drone was showing him, which, you know, is very limited. You have to keep your drone within your own eyesight so you can view obstructions and make sure you're well clear of any sort of manned aircraft.
Yeah, why don't we go over some of those other rules? Because, again, last Christmas was a big drone Christmas for hobbyists. Heck, I even bought a little bitty one just to kind of experiment with it. And now I think this Christmas is going to be another big year, but you're going to have all these novice pilots who don't know the rules.
Yeah, and so the first thing you need to understand is it doesn't matter if your drone is recreational or commercial, even if it's just for hobby or a kid's toy. If it's over 0.55 pounds, it has to be registered with the FAA. And so there's a registration website at FAA.gov. You go register your drone. If the person who owns the drone is less than 13, then the parent has to register for them. And you have to be a U.S. citizen. You also then will take the number that you're assigned and write it onto the drone so that drone can be linked back to you if, in fact, there's a problem. There are a bunch of other safety guidelines as well beyond just registration. Mike, you got to fly below 400 feet, got to stay within line of sight, which means you can visually see the drone at all times, its altitude, its attitude, what direction it's going. So it doesn't just mean, oh, it's a speck in the sky, I can see it. If you can't see which direction it's pointing, its altitude, its attitude in the sky, then it's too far away. So very important to keep the drone within flight. They'll go up a couple thousand feet, but you are not allowed to go above 400. And manned aircraft are supposed to stay above 500 in most places, so that keeps a little bit of layer between them.
Enrico, that's one of the things I was going to ask you, is how far do those radios go that control a drone? I mean, what's the range on those?
Some of them are a couple, several miles. And so the technology allows you to fly beyond line of sight. The FAA rules in the United States do not allow you to fly beyond line of sight. So you have to keep that drone within your vision so that you can see not only the drone, but anything else that's going on in the airspace, whether it's trees or wires or buildings or aircraft. You cannot fly a drone near airports or near other aircraft.
How far away from an airport do you have to be?
It depends on whether or not it's a heliport or otherwise, and the rules are different for commercial versus recreational drone users. But the general rule is they don't want you within 5 miles of an airport or within a couple miles of a helipad.
Okay.
Hey, another thing that I saw just maybe a week or two ago, we had talked about this before. Disney is now flying a pack of drones over at their theme parks doing some sort of light show or something. You had mentioned that several months ago that they were going to do that.
Yeah, so there's three levels of permission for commercial drone use. There's your base permission, which is like the permission everyone gets as long as you have your drone pilot license. That's part 107. Then you have your waivers, which are you can get certain rules waived, get that level of permission. So, for instance, Disney had to get a waiver for two waivers, one for daytime operations, because Part 107 regulations, which regulates drones, says you can only fly during daylight hours. You can get a waiver from the FAA from that. Disney got this so they could do it at night. The other rule under Part 107 is that you can only control one drone at a time from one pilot and one receiver. Disney had to get a waiver which would allow a single pilot to fly lots of drones coordinated all at the same time. They received that waiver about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, which allowed this particular event at one of the Disney parks.
I think it was the one in Florida. But one guy is controlling all those drones?
Yeah, typically because they're coordinated, right? They're actually, it's not even one person. There's an algorithm that's controlling the flight of the drones, both in relation to the ground and in relation to each other. And so you're seeing a really big push and momentum towards these kind of these what I'll call fireworks type displays with drones. And so instead of sending fireworks up, you send a bunch of drones up and you can have a really cool light display in the sky. And that's really hot right now. There's a lot of folks trying to get into that space.
Hmm. But that, of course, they're right over their own property, and that solves one of the biggest issues, right?
Well, for them, they luckily had a part of their park, which is in uncontrolled airspace, Class G airspace, which allowed them to actually get the two waivers and conduct the flight. If they were in Class C or B or D or E airspace, they would have had to get yet another layer of special permission, which probably would have taken a couple of months to get. So they were lucky that if they ran it correctly, if they ran the operation correctly, they did it in that little portion of the park, which was Class G airspace.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the video of it. I just heard about it. It was mentioned on, I don't know, read it somewhere, I heard it somewhere, but I knew they were flying.
Yeah.
So anyway, also commercial pilots. Now, back in September or late August, I remember we talked about this, that they now can go for their pilot's license. However, they got to take a test, blah, 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 and all that stuff. Why don't you explain for those folks that want to get involved in making money with drones, how they do that?
Yeah, so if you want to be a commercial drone operation, then you need to comply with Part 107 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, which is that part which addresses use of drones. The first requirement that is important is that you have to go take a test and get your what essentially is your drone pilot's license. It's called a remote pilot certificate. Remote aircraft, correct? So once you get that certificate from the FAA, and it costs about $150 to take the test, now you're a drone pilot. Now you have to comply with Part 107. As long as you comply with Part 107, you're good to go. You're up and running drone business, and you can do real estate photography, agriculture, you could do mapping, you can do environmental studies, you can do all kinds of things, and you can not only charge for it, but you can have a commercial purpose to your flight. A lot of businesses are incorporating drone into their own operations. They're designating someone within their organization to be the point person. That person's getting their remote pilot certificate, and they're using the drones to survey their own property, or perhaps they're running a business, a plant, and they've got areas that have all kinds of inventory. You can do all kinds of cool things with drones where you could do volumetric analysis to determine how much dirt is in a giant pile, for instance. So there's all kinds of practical things you can do with these drones.
I saw a commercial on TV where some oil company was using them to inspect their refineries.
Yeah, absolutely. So if it's dangerous or dirty, then it's a good job for a drone. And a lot of times when you have to do these flare stack inspections or these other infrastructure inspections, oil field, oil rig, these types of things, they're very dangerous to send people up there to inspect the infrastructure. You could send a drone with a 4K camera and video or special software, near infrared, these types of payloads that will tell you if there are problems metallurgically or otherwise with the infrastructure.
Cool. And then, of course, the video production companies like movie folks, instead of using the expensive helicopters, are now moving into drones, right?
And commercial makers as well.
Yes, commercial makers as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They, in fact, were the most aggressive into the drone space, movie and TV and film, because they were used to closing down areas in order to get the shot, right? And working with the municipalities to close down a city block. They were used to hiring helicopters in order to get that shot from above. And as you might imagine, it's just a lot cheaper to send up a drone to get that shot from above than it is to pay someone in a manned helicopter. So drones in movies go together and like peanut butter and jelly, and the movie and film industry will always be one of the leading champions of drone use.
And why don't we talk, we got about 2 minutes left, so this is where you get to do the shameless plug. So talk a little bit about Drone Law Pro.
So dronelaw.pro is our website that we use to educate people on drones and help commercial operators get up and running. So if you go to www.dronelaw.pro, you'll see there's just a tremendous amount of free information on there to help you understand how you could become a commercial drone pilot or a commercial drone business, or integrate drones into your brick and mortar business. because there's a benefit there for you that you want to take advantage of. And so we offer all kinds of things from consulting to all the contracts and documents that you need as a drone operation, from your customer contracts to your flight crew contractor agreements to your copyright assignments and licensing documents, website agreements, all the things that you need to succeed as a drone operation.
Cool. And, of course, they find you at?
www.dronelaw.pro.
Okay. And occasionally they even find you in Traverse City, although I get your Facebook feed, and you're very seldom there.
Yeah, I travel a lot. Our clients are all over the country. I've met with some great drone companies around the country, and I really enjoy that part of my travel.
Okay.
All right. For when we have you on next month, I want to talk about what's next in drone technology. You know, what's the latest and greatest and the coolest. So maybe we can talk about that next time.
Good topic. There's a lot of great technology coming down the pipe.
Okay. And you can do some research on Christmas sales. Give us some idea what you think that's going to be, because mom and dad out there are listening, I hope. And well, we know that Matt's wife is listening, and he may get a drone for Christmas. Who knows?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Sounds good, guys.
All right, well, we're going to have to end this fun today. Oh, this has been kind of a different show, but that's good, right?
But it was cool. Yeah. We had Enrico Schaefer from DroneLaw.pro up in Traverse City. We had Tom Kelly, our friend, the executive director of Automation Alley right here in good old Metro Detroit, and Keith Brophy, state director of the Michigan Small Business Development Center from over in Grand Rapids, with a cool guest talking about the healthcare system.
And that's it for now, but we'll be back next week, whether you like it or not. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you've been listening to M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.